everybody, and welcome to another City Gospel Movement podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate City Gospel work around the world. Today, we are so fortunate to have Sean Dunn, the founder and president of Groundwire, with us. Welcome, Sean.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. Great to be on the line with you.
Sean is an author and a speaker and has been involved in youth ministry for over 30 years. Sean, your tagline is contending for a generation. Can you tell us why you started Groundwire?
Well, thanks, Stephanie, for letting me share my story. Excited about the opportunity and excited about what City Gospel Movements is doing. I, like many of the people that are connected with you, I'm an evangelist. I believe that the greatest thing that we can offer someone is the hope found in Jesus Christ. And been pursuing that since I was very young and just asking the Lord to use me in that way. And where Groundwire came from was when I started to see a trend in culture, a generation that was running away from the church and ignoring our message. And I started to ask the question, how do you reach a generation that doesn't want to be in the same room with you? How do you reach a generation that plugs its ears every time that you talk or calls you judgmental because you disagree with them? And ask God for a very unique strategy to reach that audience. So right now our audience is heavy millennial, starting to explore Gen Z, and God's given us some unique ways to really find them in a way that they're willing to listen, engage, have conversation, and they're very, very excited and very, very interested in all of the amazing things that Christ offers through his personal relationship with us.
I love that, Sean. You know, when we talked the first time and you had said, how do you reach a generation that don't want to be in the room with you? I thought that was such a great starting point of a place to begin doing this gospel work. And one of the things that really struck me when we spoke the first time was just the way that you're using technology to reach this generation. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Absolutely. So our strategy is very unique. I had built a ministry around invitation. I'd invited people to come where I was, my camp, my church, my conference, read one of my books. And when I began to wrestle with the Lord on this thought and this concept, realized that Christ said, go, and I was saying, come. And so I started to try and figure out how can we influence a generation that doesn't want to be influenced. And so our strategy is an invitation. It starts with interruption. Politicians, pornographers, predators, publicists, they have been so great at interrupting our lives for years and decades. They show up where they're not invited and they share their version of the truth. And it tends to work simply because there's a biblical marketing strategy that always works, which is faith comes by hearing. And in the church, we talk about that being true. Faith comes by hearing. As we hear the word of God, we begin to believe the word of God. But again, marketers and politicians have figured out we believe whatever we hear as long as we hear it enough. So started to think, could we interrupt people in a way that we could share this truth with them? The greatest message ever, that there's a God in heaven who loves us, has a plan for us, and has made a way so that we could walk in relationship with him. So we start with interruption. We do that through media. We used to do traditional media, meaning TV, radio, billboard, but we now do digital just because our audience, they consume media differently than my generation did. My generation, we would stare at those bigger boxes. They stare at their little screens. And so we have found marketing ways to interrupt them by using Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, some other tools as well. We've explored YouTube, Pandora. Nothing gives us the results that Facebook and Instagram does, but we pay for that advertising. We can market, geo-target it. We can market it to people who like and dislike certain things, and we found a way to find them when they engage. From there, we share the message. Right now, the messaging campaign is, when life hurts, Jesus cares. And we use very professional, Hollywood-driven commercials to present that. But at the end of it, it says, chat with someone who understands. And so our website, JesusCares.com, is a device where we invite people to come and explore their crisis, their pain, their issue, their question, whether it's faith or something else. And we have 24 hours a day. We have live coverage. We have volunteers that man that 2 to 4 hours a day. And we'll always have 5 to 8 coaches online. And when somebody logs in and says, hey, I heard this, I saw this commercial and I'm wondering where was Jesus when my life was going down so bad, these coaches engage them and then point them towards Christ. And that's really where we're seeing so much fruit.
That is really, to me, it's a bit radical in the sense that you're really going to some incredible extremes. Can you tell me a little bit about how that really started for you in the sense of we've got to use technology in this space for these kids?
Right. Well, again, it was really just looking at where are they? There was one statistic that really started us thinking about media, and it was simply that, this was back in 2002 or 2003. It was a statistic about 2002. It simply said that 97% of teenagers in the nation at the time listened to the radio at least 5 times a week. And I thought, we can't get 97% to come to a church. If we stand at the door and pay them, we can't get 97%. But if that's where they are, why shouldn't we be there? And so really it just came as we watched media change, as we watched it evolve, we saw opportunity to go fishing in the ponds where they spend their entire day. Some statistics in November, I read a statistic that said that the average American adult spends 12 hours and 7 minutes a day interacting with media, and most of that's on their phone. The other day, I read a statistic that said millennials spend between 4 and 6 hours every day staring at their phone. So if they're staring there, why don't we work hard to show up where they are already fixated? And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think it's really, really courageous. Sean, can you talk to us a little bit? I know that you are able to really track and create some metrics around what you're doing at Groundwire. Can you share a little bit about how that is forming for you?
Absolutely. You know, that is one of the fun things that we're able to do is because you're marketing through the web, you can tell how many people are viewing. You can tell how many people are engaging, taking that second look at your commercial. You're able to tell how many get to your website, how many people are engaging in a conversation. But the thing that drives us the most is how many people are making professions of faith. How many people are getting to the website and saying, I can't leave this website without saying, I need Jesus in my life to forgive my sins, to, you know, to engage with my life so that I can bring peace and hope. And just to kind of give you a little glimpse of our growth, in 2016, we saw 5,695 people come to faith. Those are mostly millennials in the U.S., which is a great number. We were very excited about that. But last year, we continued to improve what we're doing and continue to refine our messaging. And that number grew from 5,695 to 28,300. We just finished the first quarter here in 2018. We saw 12,107 people say yes to Jesus this year, first quarter. Last year, first quarter, that number was only 2,547.
Wow, that is incredible.
And so it's so fun just to see what God's doing.
That is really incredible. I love the idea of the coaches too. Can you share with us just kind of how that works and how you are able to have people on the line for 24 hours a day?
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to. The backbone of what we do is really these Christians, these kingdom-hearted individuals who love to share their faith, but for some reason they're looking for a newer strategy and a new outlet. When I recruit coaches, what I say is it's like street witnessing. The difference is they start the conversation with you. Our media brings them to a place where they tap you on the shoulder and say, does Jesus really care about me? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like he does. And our coaches are trained, engaged, held accountable. We do background checks, pastoral references, and they are everything from retired pastors to ministers who say, it seems like I spend so much of my time just engaging with my parishioners. I want to engage the lost. Mm-hmm. And so we bring them there after the training. And one of our greatest needs is we need more coaches. I mean, with our traffic and our growth, we need more people that can, log in a couple hours a week and just engage. And the only way that we can manage 24 hours a day is really by leveraging time zones. So some of our coaches are in Japan, some are in South Africa, some are in Australia. And the great thing about it is because it's all text and instant message, because millennials don't pick up the phone to dial it. They pick up the phone to text.
Right.
So we don't even offer a call option. But because it's all text and instant message, you can't tell if you pick up somebody in India that you've been outsourced. You can't hear accents. So it feels, you feel authentic. You feel like somebody's right next to you, chatting with you. And the technology does a great job of connecting people and helping them come to know Christ.
That's really great. That's really, really creative. You know, a lot of our audience is people who do city gospel work in their individual cities and communities. Can you speak a little bit too about just how can people get involved in their own communities in something like this?
Yeah, we have partnered with cities. Right now we're partnering with Sacramento and with Atlanta as two of the individual cities where we come in, we do a test, we figure out what it would look like. And it's a great partnership for all of the other kingdom engagements that are going on. The reason being is when you know, it's kind of like the Air Force. You know, millions of people in Atlanta are hearing the gospel message between the age of 17 and 34 through their feeds. And that makes it so much easier for every church that's out there doing what they do. And so there's different ways that we can partner together. There's ways that with some of the evangelistic outreaches that are going out on that we can provide follow-up content. So if you have follow-up materials, knowing that not everybody who says yes to Jesus is going to get every question answered, and not every person you talk to is going to say yes to Jesus right away, but we have people who send them away with some material, some collateral, and at the bottom it'll say, if you want to have a live conversation with somebody, come to our website, and we can provide chat support to your website so that they can reach out. And because of that, we're able to measure the number of people that are chatting with us and the exact amount of responses that are coming through your systems.
So clearly, Sean, this was something that was born out of 30 years of doing ministry, and just you can hear it in your voice, an intense passion for people to know Jesus. What is it that you hope for the future of Groundwire and what your team might be able to do?
Well, from a numeric standpoint, our goal this year is to see 100,000 people come to faith. So we're heading in that direction. We have plans in place to see that. Next year, we believe that we can see 200,000 people in the U.S. come to faith. But ultimately, it just comes down to we want to reach as many people as possible. Our nation is in a very unique position because we're teetering between post-Christian culture and pre-Christian culture. Post-Christian culture says, you know, I don't go to church, but I know what goes on there. Pre-Christian culture means mom and dad didn't go to church, grandma and grandpa didn't go to church. I have no idea what happens inside those doors. And so they really don't even know what's happening inside of the church. And 70% of the American millennials, the largest generation in American history, 70% of them believe the American church is irrelevant. I believe that what that's pointing to is the fact that we need to reach them with the gospel outside of the church walls and then invite them in. We don't invite them in to hear the message. We need to go to them, and media is going to play a major role in that. Media plays a major role in everything we do as a society, and I believe that it's going to play an even greater role in the spirituality of our nation as we move forward, believing that Christianity's Jesus is the hope for Christianity. We know that. But the delivery of the message can evolve to a point where we can reach more people than the church can reach, because their perception is, I don't want to go to church, but they're sitting there staring at their phone saying, I want to know what's going on in the world. So we can find them in that way. Our hope is that we see hundreds of thousands, and potentially we'll even get a little more aggressive and say 500,000 or 1 million people a year coming to faith in the U.S.
You go. I love it. That's fantastic. Hey, I know that so many people are struggling with how to reach millennials and to understand this generation and the generation coming up behind them. How can people get more information from just what you guys have been able to uncover and understand about how to reach these generations?
Yeah, we would love to hear from you, chat with you. If you wanted to reach out to me directly, I'd be happy to share any of the content that we have. I would encourage everybody that's interested at all, go to JesusCares.com and click on the media button and check out the messaging that we use. One of the things that we've discovered is that it's their crisis that opens them up to a conversation. What we found is that millennials, 72% believe that God's a real being and not just a concept. So what that means is they're not saying, I don't believe in God. What they're saying is, I don't really know how God interacts with my life. And so they set it aside. And if we in our culture are going to be effective at engaging people in gospel conversations, we have to remember we don't have to convince them that God's real because they already believe that. What we need to do is remind them that he's relevant. Remind them that he cares about their pain, their hope, their struggle. Remind them that he has the answers when they go searching. And so that's what I'd encourage you to do. But please feel free to reach out to me directly. My email address is S as in Sean Dunn, D-U-N-N at groundwire.net. And just share with me how we could support you, help you, any information that we have. If you're interested in becoming a coach and you know somebody who is, you can learn about that on our website as well. Or if you're interested in looking at your city, incorporating this into some of the evangelistic efforts that you have, please reach out. Love to have those conversations with you.
Thanks, Sean. And I think one of the things that might be helpful for all of us listening is if you could share just a story about someone, maybe even recently, that has kind of gone through the experience of seeing a post and responding to it. And kind of, could you just walk us through maybe a real life example?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that, because it is so important that we remember that in the midst of numbers, there are stories, there's people. First one that comes to mind, and there's hundreds for us, is a young man named Michael. The interesting thing about Michael is he came online, he said, I'm an atheist, but I'm beginning to wonder if God's real. And through that encounter, I thought of something. I thought there's two types of atheists in the world. There's the type of atheist that is an evangelistic atheist who's trying to convince you that everybody in the world's an idiot who believes in God. But most people in our culture that say they're atheists are really agnostics who use atheism as a wall. Because they can tell mom, stop bugging me. I'm an atheist. Stop talking about faith. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, who do those people go to when they start to have questions? They can't go to mom because it opens up the floodgates. Can't go back to church because mom might hear about it. So what do you do? So they came online anonymously. Michael said, hey, I'm beginning to wonder if God's real. I've been seeing your commercials. He's instantly connected to a coach named Christian. Christian says, yeah, God's real. Loves you, has a plan for your life. Heaven and hell are real. Wants you to go to heaven. And Michael said, well, how do I go to heaven? And so Christian backed up and he shared the gospel message. You are loved by God, but you're separated because of your sin and you can't pay for it. All the things that we are very familiar with, lays out the gospel. And then Christian says, what do you think? And he says, you know what? I know you're right. He said, I think I've been making God wait too long. I think I'm ready. And so Christian said, well, tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna share a prayer with you. And these aren't magic words. What it just simply means is it's the way that we posture ourselves before God to receive his grace and receive his forgiveness and start our relationship. And Michael said, that's great. He said, but I just really feel this heaviness. I feel like I need to get on my knees. Would you wait for me? And so Christian said, of course. So he sets his phone down and 5 minutes later he comes back and he says, Christian, you still there? He says, yeah, I'm here. And he says, is it normal to cry? Because I am bawling like a baby.
Aww.
And he goes on to say, I feel like the greatest weight has been lifted off my shoulder. And so Christian then was able to connect him to our 7 Steps for New Believer tool. And then we were able to connect him to a local church. But that's really the way it works. It's the anonymity that's so powerful because they want to ask questions. They have questions. They don't know who to ask them to. And so they feel safe because you can be sitting next to mom texting. You can be sitting in a Starbucks having a conversation about faith and nobody knows.
Right, right. That is so powerful. I could sit here and listen to that kind of story all day long, and I'm sure you have so many of them. Sean, thank you so much for joining us here on the City Gospel Movement's podcast. If you want to learn more about what Sean is doing, and you could even email him directly through his site, groundwire.net or jesuscares.com. Sean, I need to have you back on here because we need some more of those stories and encouragement. And thank you for working with this generation and showing us all how to do it too.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Sean. And that will do it for us at City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate the City Gospel Movement work and their leaders all around the world.